I hate commercials, especially before, during, or after something you're trying to listen to, like a podcast. They're always trying to get you to buy something you don't need or the product has nothing to do with what I'm listening to. I don't need a jet ski. Shows do that to make money, and we at Dismantle Podcast hate interrupting your listening experience. To keep this channel ad-free, you can support us on anchor.fm. A monthly support of any amount allows us to continue to deliver great content and conversations while not needing to sell you a jet ski. Visit anchor.fm/dismantlepod to sign up for as little as a dollar a month. Yes, even a dollar helps. Keep your headphones jet ski free. Visit anchor.fm/dismantlepod.
You know, you're usually isolated and you don't want to talk about it with others, so you don't approach others to see if it's going on.
Welcome to The Dismantle, creating community, not converts.
Welcome to Dismantle Podcast, a place for community, not converts. I'm your host, Joey. On this show, we attempt to dismantle an issue that poses as problematic for the church by having a discussion with a guest who has insider experience with the subject. As you know, we're not always going to agree, and that's okay, but we're not going to argue because our goal is to build bridges and not barriers. Today in this mini episode, we're chatting with Peter Pendell. Peter is a pastor, public speaker, and mentor with over 40 years' experience in New Jersey. We chatted with Peter about church abuse, asking if he could discuss some of the terrain of faith and abuse he's seen and how the church can better identify those in leadership. We hope you enjoy this shorter conversation, and as always, thanks for listening to Dismantle Podcast. Some of the talk we're discussing on today is that idea of church abuse. You know, in our culture today, we're seeing things like Church 2 on the rise, and people are leaving the church in droves. It's not necessarily a news item anymore. People just sort of get that. For the sake of this conversation, how do we define church abuse?
Well, that's a really good question, because that's a critical issue. I happen to think that there's a softness in the way that we deal with problems in our culture right now, and it's easy to feel like a victim. So I want to be really careful when I talk about how to define it, because I don't want to lead people into feeling sorry for themselves or slander or gossip, but I do want to deal with the subject of church abuse because it does exist. So for me, it has to do with people in authority. That's part of the key to it. They're taking advantage of their place of authority, and therefore they're taking advantage of people under them. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. And that's often with the silence or the approval of other leaders, and that just makes it worse. And the people are trapped or feel like they're trapped. It's the kind of abuse that involves suggestive words in a sexual nature or actions, suggestive kinds of ideas that maybe we should do such and such, or are you attracted to this, or allowing somebody into an area that should be private in terms of your own relationships. So it's opening that door, setting people up. It's demeaning statements that tear them down. It's not allowing for other opinions. It's demands for silence, demands for agreement with the leaders. I put that in the category of emotional abuse. And then spiritual is kind of interesting, because it can be false teaching and get people trapped into a system that isn't true. But more often, I think that spiritual abuse is the cumulative effect of physical and emotional, where people's relationship with God is damaged or cut off because of the way they've been treated in other areas.
Why do you think that there's such a barrier when there are legitimate issues to actually hear from both sides?
Yeah, man, it is such a complicated subject, because number one, it's not always church abuse. It's I don't like the way he treated me or she treated me. I don't like their style. In fact, when I began to think about this, I thought there's a continuum that's in effect here. It goes all the way from, I don't like the way this person leads or the way they talk or their theology or their convictions, all the way to the other side, which is I've been abused by that leader. And defining where it is on that continuum becomes very difficult.
Are there any indicators, red flags that you can see that this individual is just interested in power? This individual might need a little bit more accountability. Are there ways to sort of check that before it gets out of hand?
I guess a person who's too sure of themselves, a person who's too dominant in the way they talk, too knowledgeable, not listening, all those things make a warning, as far as I'm concerned.
What do you do if you feel like your church leader is abusive?
Great question. Handle with great prayer, of course. If it's physical, it has to be reported to the police. There's just no room for that, especially sexual abuse. Just no room for it. They are operating from a place of authority and power that makes other people say yes to things they wouldn't normally say yes to. And that includes physical abuse. In fact, I was thinking about this, Joey, getting ready for this morning's talk. And I was thinking about a professor I had in seminary who very wisely told us that you have to be careful because you're in a position of leadership. And though you may not be very attractive physically, he said women may approach you in order to sort of climb the ladder. You know, it's interesting now in reflecting back on that, that though that could be true, he hadn't dealt at all with the idea of being in a superior position as a pastor and the influence that he could exercise over the other people. Now, I'm sure he never did. I'm sure that was the problem for him. But it's only recently that we're recognizing that position that is demanding and controlling. So if that turns into physical abuse, boy, I just run to the police as quick as I could. And they can investigate. They don't have to find the person worthy of charges, but they can investigate. That has to be stopped right away. I guess if it's not physical, then you're going to look for a treatment. You're going to look for a pattern of the way they deal with you. And if possible, with other people who are being treated that same way. That's harder because, you know, you're usually isolated and you don't want to talk about it with others. So you don't approach others to see if it's going on. But if you do see it, and you see a pattern, that's reason for action. I think I'd encourage somebody to very selectively and carefully seek objective input from people who are outside that setting so that they can evaluate your claims. Because somebody's objective can say, oh no, maybe they meant it this way, or maybe they meant it that way, and maybe you're taking it the wrong way. And it doesn't cancel your feelings, but it helps you to think them through. I think that's really important. And it has to be somebody outside the setting, both so they could be objective and so that they don't spread the word of what may be going on. I've just recently read a book too that I think I'd urge people to read, and that is Diane Langberg's Redeeming Power. She is a very, very wise counselor. I think she's a senior citizen now. She's seen a lot. She's counseled a lot. She's taught around the world on the subject of church abuse and spiritual abuse. And Redeeming Power, I think, is one of the key books. So if a person is feeling like they're being abused, and they can read through Redeeming Power, they can recognize what they see there. That's a good step to go. And then, you know, you've got to go to the other church leaders. Unless they are obviously complicit, and if they are, you go to denominational leaders. And if it goes beyond that, boy, I don't know what you do with it if the denominational leaders don't deal with it. I'm not sure what to do after that, to tell you the truth, Joe. You're kind of stuck unless it's physical and then harassment, and then it's an object for the police or an item for the police. But if it's not, I'm not sure. I guess you just leave and you tell the leaders why you're leaving. I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah, hopefully. Unfortunately, it has. And the ones that we know about, the leaders have been complicit. So people have gone to somebody in leadership and they just haven't listened. And it's not a criminal matter or a judicial matter. So I guess the only thing you can do is leave. But that's really fraught with great difficulties. So I feel for the person who's in that position.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts. I've really enjoyed this.
I'm glad I could be a part of it. I hope it's helpful.
That wraps up this mini episode of Dismantle Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow us on all the socials at Dismantle Pod. You can connect with the work of the podcast at patreon.com or shoot us an email at dismantlepod@gmail.com. Until next time, don't complain about the things you're not willing to change.